It's an interesting question. Do you tip the furniture delivery guy? Who do you tip when, besides like the guy delivering your pizza?
Mm-hmm.
It's Anna and Raven, 1-800-330-9999. Wait, explain what happened, Raven?
Yeah, so I ordered a sofa a couple weeks ago after one of those online companies, right? It was Wayfair, I'll just tell you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were throwing some big sale or sending me 3 emails a day. So I ordered a sofa for the extra room. Sofa comes yesterday. Big old box, and it's like a freight thing. So I go to give the guy like $10. I'm like, you know, thanks for dropping it off. My wife goes, what are you doing? As I'm going to walk towards the door, and I'm like, I'm tipping the furniture guy. And she said, first off, that's not a furniture guy. He's not a furniture guy. He's a delivery guy, a regular guy. She's like, second off, it's a sofa in a box. He has no idea if it's a sofa. She said, how do you even know he was nice to it? You don't know if he was good to it. You don't tip that guy, she said.
Well, you bring up a good point, because when you order from these online places, a lot of times it's a separate freight company that contacts you and schedules a time that they deliver.
Right, if it's something really large.
Yeah,
right.
Which I have had happen before. But then also there's the regular furniture. Like if you go to like whatever big box store that sells furniture,
sure,
you schedule that time too. And do you deliver, do you tip those people?
Like the Bob's guy.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I try to think if I do or not, and I have no idea. But then it brings up the whole point. Like, well, if you tip them, shouldn't you be tipping the plumber and the cable vision guy?
No. Nobody tips the cable guy.
Oh, my girlfriend Danielle does.
What?
She said it the other day. She said that when they come, like, to, I don't know what they did over there, and she said, yeah, you got to give them money. You have to tip anybody that comes and does service on your house.
I mean, the cable guy, you never meet the cable guy until it's his time to do his job. So why do you tip the guy for doing his job?
Well, same could
frankly
be said for the
your
plumber.
Breakdown is what keeps that guy employed.
It's weird, man. 1-800-330-9999. What do you do? Do you tip the furniture guy, the plumber, the cable vision? What's your tipping protocol? It's Anna and Raven. Are you supposed to tip furniture people, like when they deliver furniture to your house? It's Anna and Raven, 1-800-330-9999. Raven went to go tip the furniture guy, and your wife Alicia said not to.
Well, he was a truck driver. He wasn't really technically a furniture guy. It was like a freight service delivering something that I ordered online. But it created an awkward moment where I was already ready to do it, and she kind of like stunted me on my path.
Yeah, I'm looking, because I don't know technically what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. Like, how about the plumber? If you tip the furniture guy, the plumber, and then there's the person that comes and does your internet and cable, like, what about them? So we asked on our Facebook page. It's interesting. Alex says, furniture, yes. Cable and plumbers, no. Plumbers are independent contractors, so they don't get any money. I mean, do you know that for a fact?
Well, their bill is already their money, right? And it's the same thing with a cable installer. It's not like there's a central office. Most of those guys are subcontractors, so I kind of get that.
Lori says, especially you tip cable service because they're outside, inside, and in all the creepy crawl spaces in your house.
Yeah, I mean, if it's nasty out there, I don't always have cash on me, but I do always have a fridge full of beer.
Mm-hmm.
I've often sent people out with the six pack. They seem happy about that.
Yeah, what do you do? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Do you tip the furniture delivery people?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in tipping all service people that come to the house. I mean, I even tipped the city crew that came over to cut down a tree that had fallen into my yard after the storm a few weeks ago.
Wow.
I mean, that's... I figure they deserve it. And, you know, then they might even be more likely to help quickly in the future.
I'm pretty sure you just got one of them fired because townspeople are definitely not supposed to take tips.
Really?
Yeah. 1,000%.
Oh, they deserve it.
Yeah. Sure they take
I've
it.
I've been calling ours for 9 months to fix the curb in front of our house. They don't deserve anything.
They
don't deserve
nice.
Anything.
Thank you for the call. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Do you tip the furniture delivery guy?
Are you kidding? No, like these guys make enough money and we want to give them more? No. Like that's not a tipping industry. Like, you know, if they want to deliver pizza, then yeah, then take my $3. Cool. But if you're bringing a couch, that's different. That you don't tip for that.
Hmm.
He is a couch delivery guy. I get what you're saying. I mean, it's in the title.
If you have to pay for delivery, like, you know, you have to pay
right?
the delivery surcharge.
Right.
I don't know. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Do you tip the furniture delivery guy?
Absolutely, 100%. I would tip the furniture delivery guy as long as he actually shows up during the window that they're supposed to show up. It's like the worst when they're so like, oh, we'll be there between 9 and 12, and then they don't show up till 2 o'clock. And it's like, okay, buddy, you wasted my time. So if they do that, then no. But if they show up when they're supposed to and do what they're supposed to do, absolutely.
That's interesting. Would you entertain paying the cable guy if he would show up on time, Anna? Because the cable guy window is always like 4 to 6 hours. Yeah. It's insane how big that window is.
Well, how about when we lost when I lost the internet and they basically told me it could be weeks.
Right. See you in October.
I'm not gonna lie.
You'd pay a little extra, wouldn't you?
No rush to give you a tip. That is for sure.
Right, but yeah. If you could, you know, absolutely say they're going to be there on time, there would be a little something in it for them.
Maybe.
Like pizza.
Well, we're going to go right to the source. Karen Thomas is one of the nation's foremost authorities when it comes to etiquette. And she'll tell us exactly what we're supposed to do. It's next with Ann on Raven. Cable installers, furniture delivery people, plumbers, they show up to your house to do work. But do you tip them? It's Ann on Raven. Turns out everyone has different theories on what you're supposed to do. Karen Thomas is one of the nation's foremost authority when it comes to etiquette. You can visit her online at ktetiquette.com. Karen, are you supposed to tip furniture delivery people?
Absolutely. You should keep at least $20 in small bills at your house in various denominations. So that way, when certain people come, like the florist or somebody delivers something, this is an exclusion to Amazon and things like that. But if you have food, furniture, flowers, any of those things delivered, you should always tip.
The thing about the flowers, and this is something that I ran into because my birthday was a few weeks ago, was that I had flowers delivered, like three different friends sent flowers, which is so sweet. But like, I didn't know they were coming. So like,
right,
when they showed up.
It's a surprise. But that's what she says. You got to plan ahead by being prepared.
But one time I was prepared and like, I went to go hand them the $5. I didn't even have my mask on because like, I didn't know somebody was at my door until they rang the doorbell. And they like looked at me like I was an alien. And what? I was like, wait, am I not supposed to hand you this $5 bill right now?
Well, you give them the dirty money on top of it.
Did I just throw it at them? That seems wildly inappropriate.
Maybe disinfect it in front of them.
With what, Purell?
Well, what you should do, and this is extreme, but this is suggested, is that if you're going to tip somebody in person, whether you're driving to pick up your food or somebody at your door, you should have the money set aside and put in clean envelopes ahead of time. Yeah. And that way you could just take it and hand it to them in an envelope. Now, again, you're not really getting rid of germs by doing this, but if you put the money in envelopes ahead of time and then let it sit, again, this is just a small precaution that can be taken.
I have a similar system there. I don't do it with money. I do it with beer, right? So whenever there's a furniture delivery or anything like that, I just go to the old garage fridge, pull out a sixer for the guys and say, have a great lunch.
Is that appropriate? Because I don't think it is. I think if I was that guy, I'd be like, well, what if I don't drink? What if I don't want this?
You know, that's for them to work out, Anna Zapp.
Yeah. It's absolutely acceptable to do that. And as a matter of fact, because I don't tip my Amazon drivers or anything, but what I'll do is I'll say, hey, would you guys like a cold drink? And then I'll offer them all the sodas and, you know, different kind. We had energy drinks one time. They were like, oh, we'll take these. And that's what I do. And that's considered a tip as well.
Red Bull. That's what they want.
Helped productivity.
Yeah.
Right.
Karen,
I love that.
You said food, furniture, flowers. How about the cable guy and the plumber? That's been all like something that we've been contesting back and forth this morning.
No way.
Most of them, if the plumber is working with a larger company, a lot of times the company will frown upon them receiving tips, and that would be up to the gentleman or woman plumber to say no. But I always do offer for anyone that performs a service inside my home or, you know, outside for that matter, for that because they're doing a service. Now, it doesn't have to be excessive, but anywhere between 5, 10, or depending upon what the services they're doing and how long they're there, should be considered.
What if you don't know?
Plumbers ring me up, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I don't know what the bill is before that, they're ringing me up.
Well, that is a case, though, too, Raven, where you are not tipping on the bill. So in other words, like at a restaurant, you tip the bill's $150, you're going to tip on that. The premise is you would tip them when they're actually physically in your home or at your home doing work. So maybe $10, $20 or what have you.
All right, Karen, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. As always, you have the answers.
You make us better people.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Everyone be safe and stay well.
And buy envelopes. That's what I've learned this morning.
Get that.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. On our text line, Raven, if someone asks you a question and your response is, it's on the website, That's all I need to know about you.
People just mailing it in nowadays. The effort has really fallen over 2020, I have to say.
Well, I also think it's throwing shade when it's like, you know, it's basically like, oh, you're too dumb to figure this out on your own.
Oh, come on with that nonsense. People ask questions, you give an answer. It's called customer service.
I can immediately think of three people that work here that anytime you ask them for something, the response will be, I sent an email about that.
Mm.
Or if you had done your job, you would already know the answer to this.
Yeah, that's our bosses.
Right. Yeah. hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah. When you pull up to a gas tank and only want to put 50 cents in or 25 cents, that's all I need to know about you.
I'm with you.
How far does you go on 25 cents of gas?
Yeah, I asked him. I said, where are you going? To the next pump?
Right.
Right.
It better be across the street.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays, even $10 feels like you know you're at the end of your check account.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, things are thin that week, that part of the week.
Anna and Raven, that's all I need to know about you.
Yes. People who are stealing signs. It is the rage, and it's sad. I drive through this area every day, and I have some friends that have put, the second time, they put dog poop from their labs all around there, hoping they would get caught. It's outrageous. Oh. How childish, anyway.
I would like them to make lawn signs illegal, just in general across the board. Like, stop.
I would make them to make lawn signs in the shape of dog poop.
That would make the most sense. Like,
right?
the poop emoji.
That
right.
would be perfect, right?
They should only be emoji lawn signs.
That's actually not a bad idea.
I know.
People steal them. It's not, you know, it's so childish to steal something like that. It's not yours to steal. Anyway.
Hi, it's Hannah and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If you run barefoot, that's all I need to know about you. So there's a weirdo on my street who every morning he's out and he's running barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
No
yep.
shoes, no socks. And I just, you know, and I said to my wife the other day, I was like, look at this lunatic. It's like I want to gift him a pair of shoes, like a pair of sneakers, leave him on his doorstep with a note that says from the neighborhood.
Mm. I got news for you. He does not want your shoes. My grandfather-in-law is the same maniac who does that. He runs barefoot everywhere. He doesn't want your shoes.
But
and if anything,
does that hurt?
If he no, not over time. It doesn't. Over time, oh. apparently, it doesn't. He's like a caveman like that.
Weird.
And if he does put on shoes, man, he puts on those ones that look like they have fingers. Like for
toes.
Your feet. Yeah.
The toe holes.
I know, but it's so weird for shoes to have that.
Yeah.
It just grosses me out, man.
Yeah, it is strange.
Yeah, but they don't want your shoes, man. They don't.
Anna and Raven, that's all I need to know about you.
If you don't use your blinkers on the road,
oh.
that's all I need to know.
This is one of the classics, sir.
Hate 'em.
When we this is one of the reasons we created this segment. It's a classic. They act like the turn signal costs them a dollar every time they use it.
I like to keep things spontaneous. You don't know what I'm going to do. We've left and we've right. It's like a surprise for everybody.
That's not charming,
oh,
all right? It's catastrophic.
Just keeping everybody on their toes. 1-800-330-9999 if you want to call in, too. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. 88% of people have never set up their memorial page on Facebook. Have you done it, Raven?
No. I'm not counting down the days to my impending doom yet at this point.
But what happens when you die? Did you even think about that? Who's going to be in charge?
It'll just fade away.
Will
that point.
It?
Yeah.
Turns out it won't.
What?
Yep. It's Anna and Raven. It's a thing, and it's been a thing for about 5 years now. You have the opportunity to create a memorial page on Facebook, and so many people either don't know about it or they think, like Raven, where you don't really have to do it.
It's your social media living will, if you will.
Right. So how do you do it?
When you log into Facebook, go into settings. Then on this next page, let's click on the second to last option, which is memorialization setting.
All right. That seems early enough.
Like, right? I love it how they put a little beep behind it and they're like, this is the thing you're going to do early this Tuesday.
Right.
Like, hey, I don't want to think about that.
Well, you have to think about it. So we know how to do it logistically. Great. So now what?
You'll now need to select one of your contacts to act as something that is referred to as a legacy contact.
What?
People fall out with people. You know what I mean? Your best friend today might not be there in 6 years.
You have to pick a legacy contact. That's a big, big responsibility.
It really is. You got to sit them down and ask them to look over your children if the plane goes down. And then also it's the Facebook page.
Well, I'm not sure if the person that watches the kids is the same person that's your legacy contact. What exactly does a legacy contact have to do?
A legacy contact can do several things, which includes being able to write a final pinned post. They can update your profile photo or cover photo.
What?
So now you have to pick the friend that gets the best angles of you.
Yeah. So two things. One, you have to write the final post. So you're basically writing your Facebook obituary. You have to pick somebody that's going to be in charge of doing that, which is already a huge task. Like for me, if it's somebody that has bad grammar, can you imagine I'm dead and then I have to look back on my final post and there's misspellings and grammar mistakes? Oh. That'll haunt me until, like, I guess forever and eternity.
That would be terrible.
And then somebody that posts a bad picture of you. Like, I feel like if I chose you as my legacy contact, you would just pick the last picture of me in my camera roll. Right. And then what? What and if it, I hate that picture?
And it would probably go up like 3 weeks late.
Right.
Is what it would be.
Oh, my gosh. And there's another important decision that has to be made by the legacy contact.
It's also important to note that your legacy contact does have the ability to delete your profile.
Oh.
So for that reason, you should really consider having a conversation with that person so that they know what your wishes are.
If somebody just randomly chose you as their legacy contact and you just are like, I don't know them that well, or I can't keep up with this, would you delete it or just let it live there in space forever?
Well, I mean, that's a conversation you have to have. Like, I don't have a real will yet. I don't know. I just don't. Do you have a will?
No, not really.
Me neither. But I feel like this is almost more important. The state will figure out what my stuff goes.
Right.
But who's going to be in charge?
They'll take as much of it as they can.
Whatever. At that point. But this is how you're going to be remembered forever. And you know it's weird because people do this all the time where they like they go back to like the person that's passed away page. Like whenever somebody tags somebody that has passed away on Facebook.
It's true.
What do you immediately do? You go to their page.
Right.
And you want to see everything. What was the last thing they posted when they were alive? So this is, it's kind of a big deal because everybody will be looking at it. But there was one more important thing to note, Raven.
A legacy contact cannot read your private messages. Now, there is one exception to that last rule, and it only happens if the death is under investigation.
Oh.
And there may be important information that is located in those private messages that can act as evidence.
So it's not that person even reading it at that point. It's like the FBI.
Yeah. Listen, if I go missing, I want you to read my Facebook messages first. That's where I want you to go because that's where all the creeps send you the stalker messages. That's where they go.
I will keep an eye out for you.
Do you want to be my legacy?
It seems like a lot of responsibility.
It's hurtful.
I think there's better options out there for you.
Don't delete my page. Admittingly, I don't know much about cars, but I'm relatively certain that all the bad decisions that you made on Friday is why your car blew up.
Yeah, typically, I'm a pretty measured person when it comes to decision making. I take the facts, Anna, and then I move forward. I press ahead. I don't spend a lot of time hemming and hawing. I live with the consequences after that. But, you know, this time you might be right.
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. Raven, explain the situation of how you destroyed your car. And every time I think you made a wrong decision, I'm going to play a duck sound effect.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, you know, over the last year or so, obviously the dealership, it's not open all the same times, that type of thing. And costs are different. So I've been doing a lot of the maintenance. So it kind of starts with that. I've been doing a lot of my own maintenance on my car.
How many times have I told you you can't watch a YouTube video and change your brakes? How many times?
I mean, many times you've said it, but I would beg to differ that you are incorrect.
Okay.
So the vehicle service engine light came on about a week or 2 weeks ago. First day or so, I was like, oh, it's just kidding. It'll turn itself off after gas tank cycles like three times or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then I made the appointment to go to the dealership and bring the vehicle in.
Weeks later?
Maybe a week and a half. You know, I've been busy, man. Time is kind of melting together.
Yeah.
So I made the appointment and I was ready to go in on Monday, being yesterday. Friday, we got out of here. Beautiful day. Ready to go. Friday, you want to get home. Of course, you're moving. I get on the highway and I go about, I don't know, four exits or something like that. And all of a sudden, a new light comes on. This one's red.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows like a temperature gauge there and like, you know, the thing with the motor. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'm almost there.
Right.
I don't want to stop. It's really sunny out. So I floor it. Well, that's a different duck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I floor it, and I figure, you know what? If I can get into my driveway, I'll blaze into my driveway. I'll deal with the consequences after.
Okay.
Here's the thing. The light is solid at first, which feels like a warning, and then it starts to blink, which is more like, hey, the O-ring is about to go. Land the Challenger now.
And what do? You pull over?
No, I decide that I'm going to blast the heat because that helps to bring down the temperature in vehicles. And then I continue to floor it. And so I've got the heat going. It's 85 degrees out and all the windows are down and I'm trying to make it home. And then the vehicle just starts to slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I pull over to the grassy side. I'm actually begging the vehicle at this point. No, no, no. Because I'm on, you know, a tight highway.
You're
There's
trying
nowhere
to reason.
To go.
You're trying to reason with your car.
That's right. So I get to the side of the road. Mm-hmm. I sit in the grass for a while. Engine's still running now. Yep. I pop the hood and I keep the heat cranked and the light starts to slow down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now the light disappears.
Okay.
I decide I'm going to go for it again.
Yep. Let's
I
go.
Then drop the hood. I floor it. I get back on the highway and I'm going. And within a mile and a half, it starts to slow down again. Same game. I make it around the curb. I get up onto the grass, kill the motor, and pop the hood again. You know, I've still got the fan running, all that stuff. I said, you know what? At this pace, I'll be home in about an hour, but I won't have to deal with a tow or anything like that.
Oh, so you keep going.
Yes, yes. Started the vehicle again.
Yep.
Floored it. Started going and didn't even get like a half mile this time. This time I actually had to pull in the rest stop and call a tow.
That's Donald Duck.
Yes,
I want to know how many times you kept flooring that car and pushing it, and then you just found out yesterday that you broke your car forever.
Yeah. Now the engine is exploded. There's antifreeze in the oil line. I said to the guy, too, when I called, I said, you know, could that have been caused which when the light came on, I then floored it and kept going. And he said, well, I'm not going to say definitively yes.
Right.
Raven, but it's a possibility.
That car is relatively new, and you destroyed it because you watched YouTube videos, did all these things, and then tried to save it on the way home.
Listen,
true or false?
No, that is false. I never took the top of the motor off. Glad you're amused by it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I would just say, do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly, yep.
Thank you, Donald Duck.
Three transit workers are in trouble. It's Anna and Raven. Here's the ridiculous reason why.
New York City transit workers are in a bit of trouble this morning because authorities found a secret man cave inside the city's famed Grand Central Terminal.
They built a man cave underneath Grand Central.
I mean, does it really seem like the worst idea ever?
Kinda.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, as a guy who would be working in that, I would think that actually it sounds kind of awesome.
Mm. They continue.
Officials say the employees converted a storage room into a lounge area, complete with a futon, a TV set, some exercise equipment, a refrigerator, even some mattresses.
The refrigerator was full of beer. And how they found it was that co-workers complained, and they said that it's where they go to get drunk and party.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the problem. Yeah. Had they just let some more people in, they would have been fine. They could have kept the complaints low. The fact that there's workout equipment in there says to me, like, I mean, they really thought this through. This is not just a place for, you know, to hang out and lounge. This is a place for wellness also, Anna.
If you look at the videos of this, there's pictures. There's pictures of the man cave online. It is like a sad dorm room.
I like how they tried to hide the stuff. Like, they built custom cabinets to go around like the TV and stuff. So if somebody walked in there and they were unbeknownst, you'd be like, oh, no. There's nothing going on in here. Nothing to see here.
They've got diet cranberry juice, a couple IPAs, some peanut butter in the refrigerator. I mean, like, why would you want to spend more time at work? To me, that just doesn't seem to make any sense. And to me, this is the saddest man cave I've ever seen because, like, there's nothing there.
Let me play devil's advocate here for just a moment, okay? Do we really need more storage below Grand Central? Was anybody missing that storage closet? Did anybody, nobody was even aware that that room was there for the most part until they stumbled across it.
The only thing that's, like, pretty legit is the flat screen TV up on the wall.
Right. Just a little place to sit down, you know, take the secret cabinet off the secret futon, sit on the futon, put your feet up on the refrigerator, pull out one of those IPAs and watch the news.
So funny. I'm so curious. I would love to see this in real life. Like, go find this underneath Grand Central. Do you have a man cave at your house?
So I resent the term man cave, given the fact that it makes it seem like there needs to be a place that just a man can go to where your stuff isn't actually populating the rest of the house.
Yeah.
But the truth is that my stuff is not allowed in the rest of the house. So I kind of had a man cave, or I do in the basement, but my wife has taken that over too. So I have my arcade games down there, and you know I like the old school ones, the big cabinets and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I have like four of those right now, designs for there to be a bunch more, but my wife has now moved into it and made it her workout gym yoga studio.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's yoga mats everywhere. There's weights all over the place. You know, the ellipticals down there, the treadmills in the garage. Like, it's just a reminder of the fact that no space is still mine.
No wonder why you're jealous jealous of these three guys. They're like, they had a place where nobody bothered them. Their wife didn't do any yoga in their man cave.
Right. And the only way that they were actually able to get that was to hide it below a train station.
In the middle of New York City.
I'm telling you. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure that we should reward these guys, but we shouldn't vilify them.
Okay.
We should help them. Most people think Anna Zapp is a pretty nice person on the outside, well put together and all that. But every once in a while, we get a look inside her inner monologue.
Deep dark thoughts or a sounding board for the typically insane mom? Most people keep their diary to themselves.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Not Anna Zapp.
Dear diary, do you know how many calories are in a bottle of Riesling and three White Claws? 935. You know how I know that? Because I had to log it on my diet Numap after I drank it all on Saturday and then I felt like a degenerate. Turns out you actually have to Google how many calories are in an entire bottle of wine because that's not actually considered a serving. That app was like, are you dumb lady? You have 1,200 calories for the whole day and you just drank them. It's been years since I've done that and I forgot the one thing that happens when I have too many cocktails in a single day. My Diet Coke hangover dreams. I stopped drinking soda last January. It's like a bad ex-boyfriend, though. It just keeps coming on back. In my dream, after a day of drinking, I have a vision of Diet Coke. I dream of how cold and refreshing it will be. That satisfying first sip that immediately turns into a gulp. I can just feel the bubbles in my mouth quenching my thirst. The anticipation of chugging half a fountain Diet Coke. I can't wait. But, you know, like through a regular plastic straw like we did in the old days before we knew that they were destroying the ocean. I should note that in my Diet Coke dreams, I'll never have a paper straw. It's blasphemy. All night long, I wait until that magic moment when I can wake up and head down to the basement and find the emergency Diet Coke stash. At exactly 6:34 a.m., I jump out of bed. Well, not really jump. I get out slowly because I have a slight throbbing in my head, most likely from mixing White Claws and Riesling. And I trek two flights of stairs in a sleepy haze to my dark basement. And without shame, I open a can of Diet Coke. Unfortunately, I don't have a soda fountain in my house, so this is going to have to do. And just like I've been craving all night, it is the most delicious thing I have ever drank. My night thirst vanishes, and a big burp makes its way out. I hear my daughter yell, "Ew, Mom!" And it is just as great as I remembered. Now if I can just get my hands on a bacon, egg, and cheese, all will be right in the world. Until next time, Diary. Love, Anna.
So what happens to Broadway? I think that's for all theater lovers like myself. That's what we're wondering what's happening right now. It's Anna and Raven. Joining us, Dan Michike. He's the music director at Wicked. What happened?
I mean, Dan, you're royalty. You got to have an answer for us. Tell us, King.
Oh, if I had an answer, I would be very famous. You know, thank you guys so much for having me. Broadway will be back. And that is what we need to keep telling ourselves, that because New York is New York and Broadway is New York. And I'm very grateful that I've been able to work for Wicked, the musical, for over 6.5 years. It's been an incredible time. I miss my job every single day. As of right now, we are crossing every finger and toes in our body that we keep hearing the spring. We keep hearing April.
Okay. Well, you know, that makes me sad because I really was hoping like in January, to be honest.
Right. It certainly would be nice to find a beacon, right? A beacon of light throughout this, what could be a long winter, but we are seeing some good positive steps. I mean, that would be exciting for the spring. Think about the city come roaring back.
I know, you know, and I think obviously as the country and the world, we're all kind of waiting for the next steps. The thing about Broadway is you can't socially distance. They can take extreme health measures, and the Broadway League is working so hard to get us back. It's such a serious issue that if Broadway comes back too soon, you know, what we've seen, what's happened before, obviously, in our country. So, you know, they're kind of taking every measure possible. And yeah, we're just praying to God for spring of 21.
You see, you brought it up. You touched on it. It's hard to socially distance. These theaters are old and they're beautiful. Nobody's ripping up seats.
Right.
But has there been any talk about leaving room in between, or has that not even
selling
been acknowledged?
Half capacity,
yeah.
Right.
Like, what do you, has there been any talk about that?
Those conversations are really happening with the Broadway League and with those very fancy people. The good thing, and I can just speak for what I know about Wicked, is we are the largest theater on Broadway. That also means we have the most bathrooms, we have the most space. And yes, even though the seats are close to each other, what people also need to remember is, you know, you have people on stage singing in each other's face, and you have 24 musicians in 1,500 square feet in the pit. it really is about everyone being safe when we do come back.
It is a good position for Wicked to have, obviously, with that larger theater there. They can still stay at a level where there's profitability, hopefully. Obviously, Broadway doesn't happen for free, right? Only when we start. That's when we do it for free. So,
right.
So it's sooner or later, we have bills to pay, right? So, you know, the profitability is there for them, but some of the other shows, the smaller shows, may have a problem with that.
Now that you've been transitioned to being home, you've kind of taken your creativity and you've offered it to the masses. You're actually teaching people online, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really been one of the most rewarding things during this time. I've always had a coaching studio in the city and taught when I could, but, you know, between 15 hours of rehearsal and 8 shows a week, there wasn't always that much time.
Right.
And now I'm opening up whatever anyone needs, whether it be coaching or voice lessons or college prep, questions about the business, questions about being a music director, or a singer, an actor. My link is on my Instagram page, Dan Michikay, in the bio, and anyone and everyone can sign up.
Dan, I know that, you know, when you're starting, some of the things that we just don't know the things, right? We have big dreams and big eyes, but we just don't know the information about what it's going to be like. Sometimes just meeting with somebody who has great experience like you.
And insight.
Right. And getting a little insight and a little information and a little bit of boost to confidence, it can make you feel so empowered to say, you know what? There is a path here. I love it. It's like a masterclass.
I
love it.
I'm so glad you said that because people were like, is it just for professionals and this and that? I was like, no, it's for everyone. Just having conversations about that and opening people's eyes that this can be an amazing career path that is fulfilling and you can make a living. If you're going to school for music theater and you graduate, you're probably moving to New York and you're probably going to audition for Wicked.
Right. Get Dan on the line while you can.
If you want to find Dan on Instagram, just search for his name, Dan Michikay, and it's M-I-C-C-I-C-H-E. Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Stephanie and Mike. Stephanie, let's start with you. What's going on?
Our daughter is currently in a swimming class, and I found out recently one of the students' fathers has been changing his daughter in the women's locker room. I just think that's a little strange. I understand that she's young. However, having a man in the girls' locker room is just a little uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, it's more than a little. I mean, if you've seen it and it's bothered you, then obviously it's uncomfortable for you. I mean, this is while other people's children are in there changing as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But you said you heard. Have you heard or have you seen this yourself?
Yeah, have you been there?
I saw him come out, but I didn't think anything of it because he was with his daughter. And so I asked my daughter, and she told me.
Huh.
I spoke to my husband, and so he just has a different perspective on things.
Mike, you don't think that Stephanie should say something to the school if it makes her feel uncomfortable that there's, like, a father in the women's locker room?
Absolutely not. I mean, come on, what is he supposed to do? That's his daughter. I mean, if anything, she shouldn't go there, you know, trying to get turned up. I mean, she should go there pretty much saying, hey, it should be an option for like a family restroom, if anything. But don't criticize or go hard on the guy because that's his daughter. Where are you supposed to change her?
Is his daughter young?
She's about like 4 or 5 years old.
I mean, that's young. You got to change that baby.
Yeah, if they got problems, right? If they can't get in and out of it on their own. Yeah, right. I mean, and
absolutely.
What are you supposed to do? Then you drag her into the men's room. That's definitely dirtier.
Oh, that's not going to happen. No. So if that was my daughter, absolutely not. We're going right into the women's, and the women should be considerate. They should be understanding. It's not like he's a peeping Tom or he's, you know, doing anything weird. Leave him alone.
It's so funny. Like, I never once thought, like, when my husband takes the girls' places by himself and they have to go to the bathroom, what does he do? I don't even know.
He just hangs them out the window.
What?
That's what we all go behind the car.
I gotta text
just
him.
Just like daddy.
All right, what we do is ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with you, Mike. Stephanie, you're making a big deal out of nothing. He's a father that's bringing his young daughter into a dressing room to change before her swim class. But they may see your side, too. It's a grown man with a lot of young children that are being changed in a women's room, and there should be some kind of different option for him available. And you should bring it up to the school so they can address it. Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Yes,
absolutely.
Great. Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
To me, I can't believe I never even thought about it, but I guess as a mom, it doesn't cross your mind. But I can't wait to ask my husband what he would do when Hayden was younger. So Stephanie and Mike have a child that go to swim school. Now, Stephanie's upset because there is another father there who always brings his young daughter, between the age she's about 4 or 5 years old, into the women's room and changes her into the bathing suit. Mom, Stephanie, says, no, men don't belong in here. He should figure out something else and wants to complain to the school. Dad, Mike, says, where do you want him to change his daughter? In front of all the men in the men's bathroom? That's not right.
He says it's not right for her to shame him. And as long as she hasn't witnessed anything that's inappropriate or anything like that, she should basically mind her business, not bring it up to the school, not cause some sort of ruckus, because it hasn't been a disruption so far. Seems to him that she's the only one bothered.
Huh. What do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on his side. You can't let her go in there by herself. Can't really get herself dressed as a little girl, and it's not the 50s anymore. Fathers do a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about what we need to do on a daily basis, right? So if this is how they make their schedule work, then that's good. I'm sure the daughter doesn't think anything of it. As a matter of fact, I mean, she's probably nervous if her dad isn't there to help her.
Of course.
Right? If anything, let's not judge. Let's try and assist if we can. Not every facility has the ability to come up with another room for a bathroom.
It's just such a tough thing. I've never thought about it. Whose side are you on today? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court, Anna and Raven. It is close this morning, and it's one I've never even thought about. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Stephanie and Mike have a young daughter that goes to swimming school, but when Stephanie brings her young daughter into the women's locker room to change her, there's another dad in there with his young daughter. She says men do not belong in the women's changing room, but her husband Mike disagrees.
Well, where is he supposed to go with his young daughter, right? If he takes his daughter into the men's room to change her, there's probably a good instance that she might run into something that she's not prepared to see.
Right. So Mike says, mind your business, keep your mouth shut. Stephanie is ready to go talk to the school and complain. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on the husband's side. I do feel like there should be another restroom, a family restroom for them. But you have to think about bringing your 4 or 5 year old daughter into a men's restroom. It's unfortunate that we live in a society like this, but there are sexual predators that kind of get off on these things. So you don't want to bring your daughter into that environment. But yes, there should be a general bathroom for a family for that. So I don't think she should go in on the gentleman.
I'll say that there could be a predator anywhere. We know that. But inherently, just the sight of a men's room inside, it's not all stalls. So you're going to see more.
And on Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
I'm definitely on the wife's side. I feel like if the father is taking his daughter into the women's room, does that mean that I've been doing it wrong all those years and I should have been taking my son into the men's room?
Yeah, it brings up a good point.
No way.
Right, it's so strange. Like, I've never really thought about it. But then again, I'm a mom of girls, so it's a little bit different. And I think as a mom, it's different when you bring young boys into the women's room. Because I don't know. It just seems normal.
Right. I mean, there's
it's
no explanation
normal.
As to why.
There's no explanation.
Right,
yeah. It's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Neither. When I was a kid, if it was my father that had to take us, we put our bathing suit on at home, took care of business, put our clothes over. When we got there, we just took off our shorts and top, and we were ready to go.
Yeah, but a young kid
staying in
a bathing suit after the thing, that's where I'm thinking. I'm like, yeah, no, that would be a little bit tough going back
in the
car seat.
In the parking lot. That's it.
In the trunk.
That way everybody feels comfortable. Well, it's 32 degrees out, but we'll do it in the parking lot.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Mike, our audience agreed with you. Stephanie, it's a father with a young child and he needs to change, you know, and it's if he's not doing anything inappropriate, then let him be able to go in there and use the room and be able to change his daughter comfortably.
If anything, you know, if you're there and you're witnesses or whatever, you know, you could befriend this gentleman and maybe find out if she needs some help. You know, if it would maybe alleviate your concerns or other people in the locker room, maybe one of the moms could step up and help out.
Yeah, I see your point. I don't want to lay. I mean, the father's just doing his job, taking care of his daughter. So I see that.
Mike, you got to be happy with that result.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because I was out with my friend one day and he had his daughter with him. And he actually asked the young lady to, you know, walk her into the bathroom and help her use the restroom. Now, you know, I was kind of leery about that because she was a stranger. But at least he would try to do something. So I just had to give people some options. They just don't know. Some people just don't know.
You know, you don't realize it until you're there in the situation, right? You see the challenges that they're dealing with every day.
Yeah, it's tough.
That dad may have been in 1,000 locker rooms because he's the one that gets her to all her little things.
Right, of course.
So, you know.
Yeah. All right, you got a problem too. Send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, this is Melissa.
Hey, Melissa, you are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. Today's jackpot is up to $400. Here's how it's going to work. Raven's walking out of here when that big old studio door slams. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I'll bring Raven back in, and I'll ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, $400 on the line. Number one, the Denver Broncos have cutouts of the entire town of South Park in their stadium. Which main central character in South Park lives with his mom and tells his friends that he hates them regularly?
Cartman. Eric Cartman.
Number two, James Cameron says Avatar 2 is finished and Avatar 3 is 95% done. What fictional universe does Avatar take place?
Pandora.
Number three, the cast of Father of the Bride reunited after 25 years to benefit the World Central Kitchen. What actor is the Father of the Bride?
Steve Martin.
Number four, tonight is the first presidential debate between Biden and Trump. What is the minimum age you must be to be elected president?
36.
Okay, and number five, it's National Coffee Day. Finish this coffee brand slogan. The best part of waking up is?
Boulders in your cup.
All right, who's helping you in the back? Let me wave Raven in.
Yo. That's my mom.
All right, good. I like it. I like when it's teamwork. We invite everybody to help. All right.
How'd you do?
Melissa did great. She got 4 out of 5.
Pretty good. Let's see how I do.
Number one, the Denver Broncos have cutouts of the entire town of South Park in their stadium. Which main central character in South Park lives with his mom and tells his friends that he hates them regularly?
Cartman.
That's right. Hey, guys. Okay. Number two.
No.
I love South Park.
I know, but that's not a good in-person.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Hate you, Kyle.
I'm good at that.
Right, no.
All right. Number two, James Cameron says Avatar 2 is finished and Avatar 3 is 95% done.
Let's go.
What fictional universe does Avatar take place?
Pandora.
Pandora is correct.
I mean, if I was blue and looking for a new house, that's where I'd go.
Pandora in Disney World at Animal Kingdom is the most incredibly beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life.
I'm sure.
It really is. Number three, the cast of Father of the Bride reunited after 25 years to benefit the World Central Kitchen. What actor is the Father of the Bride?
Steve Martin's the Father of the Bride.
Yes.
Great movie.
Number four, tonight is the first presidential debate between Biden and Trump. What is the minimum age you must be to be elected president?
It's going to be 35, don't you?
Yeah, 35 is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And number five, it's National Coffee Day. Finish this coffee brand slogan. The best part of waking up is?
Folgers in your cup, of course.
I'm sorry, Melissa. That was close. He beat you 5-4 this morning, and that does get you your own Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Thank you. This is Melissa, and I can't beat Raven.
Aww. All right. Well, thanks, Melissa.
She's a little bit defeated.
Well, thank you.
It was
Listen,
close.
Great game. Better luck next time, Melissa.
Hold on, friend.
Thank you, Raven.
All right. We're going to put another $100 in the jackpot tomorrow morning. $500. Make sure you're listening at noon and 5:30 today for the cheat sheet. I'll give you the first 2 answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions.